is February 7th, 1995. My name is Elaine Romano, and I will be conducting an interview with Mr. Douglas Johnson. Mr. Douglas Johnson is a retired coach history teacher from Anniston High School, who will be talking about his experiences as a teacher just before, during, and after desegregation at Anniston High School. Okay, Mr. Johnson, when did you start teaching at Anniston High School?
I went to Anniston in 1960 as a head basketball coach and taught history and biology that first year. And after that, I taught history. I didn't teach any more biology. Excuse me. Taught history and PE, of course, had some PE classes too, until 1971, and then I took the vocational school over.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran it till 87.
Okay. When you went to Anniston High School in the 1960s,
yeah.
What was the atmosphere at the school?
Well, at that time, you know, it was before integration. And the atmosphere was very academic. We had three classifications, group ones, group twos, and group threes. And there was a lot of difference between the group three and group one.
Could you tell us the difference?
Oh, yeah. I had two classes the first year I was there, of biology, and one of them was group one and one of them was group three. And there was no comparison with the students. I gave the group one test to the group three, and I had one student pass. There's that much difference.
Wow. What do you think made that difference?
Well, they tested them to determine what group they were in, see. You know what you found?
Yes.
But now, they had to quit that back in the 70s because it didn't work because they needed about 10 groups. There was that much difference in the kids. So they quit that.
What was the population of Anniston High School when you went there?
When I went there, it was in the neighborhood of between 15 and 2,000 students in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade.
What was the student body like when referring to segregation?
Well, you talking about before?
Before.
Well, it was just like they had a... Anniston had an all-black school called Cobb High School. It was on the west side of town. And as far as I know, it was a good school, a good coach, good football, good athletics, good teaching and everything. And there wasn't a lot of problems. The most problems we had in all going through all the segregation was when they made 250 students come to school at Anniston High, black students.
Would you say... When I was reading in a book about Anniston High School in the 1930s, I was reading that Noble Street dividing line, a social dividing line. Was there such a thing in the 60s between the black community and the white community for the school?
Well, I really don't know. If you tell you the truth, I never paid a lot of attention to it till it started, integration started, you know. I mean, I never had anything against them, and I don't reckon they had anything against me. We just didn't go to school together. And then in 1966, I believe it was, or 60s, might be 67, it's when they made those students come to school over.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to come. And it was
the black community didn't want
to. The black kids that came to school over there did not want to come to school.
For what reasons?
I don't know. Probably they made to come over, I guess. And finally, that was when they had that open door. Open the door and let them go to school where they wanted to, and they wouldn't go, so they made them. They made them come over that year. And I don't know, that was a court law or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly, but that was the biggest problem we had. And all the integration in the Anniston system, I went through the whole thing. When they consolidated Cobb and Anniston High, we didn't have no problem. Nord, but when they made those kids come over that year, it was the only problem we had. We had tried to burn the school down and everything else.
Edison High School?
Yeah, that was the last year that we were in the old building down on where they got Gregerson's Food Market now.
Oh, so it was on Quintard?
Oh, yeah, on
Quintard. Okay, I didn't know that.
But it wasn't just the blacks that were trying to burn the school down. In other words, all the students bought it. We had policemen in the halls and firemen in the halls and protesters walking around the school. But as far as the kids concerned, we didn't have a lot of trouble. So, I always said if parents stay out of it, the kids work their own problems out. That's the alphabet.
I still feel that way.
I'm not talking about just the black parents. I'm talking about white parents too.
Right.
And most of your problems you have with integration is go right back to the parents. Kids, you don't know data. Yeah, they're students. They don't pay no attention. But I went through it. We had a lot of problems, but I don't think Anderson had any more problems than anybody else.
It was
a matter of adjusting to the situation.
What was George Wallace's effect on the Anniston community and the school system, especially with his statement in the beginning?
Well, George Wallace was a very racist, and then he completely changed. He turned
what do you
it all
think
over.
What caused that change?
I don't know. I guess to stay in there, stay elected for governor, but a lot of people didn't pay him any attention, but they still vote for him. And you'd be surprised how many black people voted for him.
I don't understand that one.
Well, I don't either, but I didn't detest George Wallace, or I didn't go along with a lot of his things either, but we went through it, and I'm going to tell you something. I was an administrator for 15 years. I never had any problem with the blacks, no more than some discipline problems with them, which I have with the white kids too, you know. And I just treat them all alike, and I never had any problem. No problem. And some of the best teachers I had were black. Most loyal teachers I had, they still are. Most of them are still down there.
When did Anniston High School begin to integrate black teachers into the school system?
Well, they started back in the 60s, but really in the 70s.
Did that help the transition?
Yeah. A good teacher to me is a good teacher, not in regards to what color. I mean, Mrs. Washington, one of the black ladies, taught me, one of the best teachers I ever had in my life, ever seen in my life. And I had some white teachers, good teachers. But you get some duds, you know. If you stay at one, maybe you're going to hire one can't do the job. But I never had any problem with teachers, students, or nothing.
Were there any demonstrations or sit-ins at the beginning?
Yeah, we had some sit-ins.
At the high school?
Down in the old high school we did. And I had one sit-in in the vocational school, but it was a misunderstanding. The counselor came to me and said, that was when Cobb was coming down some high on buses. I mean, not down some high, down some vocational school. And one of the counselors came to me and said he thought we could cut one bus off, but we didn't need that many buses coming over that day. So I said, okay. And come to find out, we didn't need to cut that bus. And they didn't come to me with it. They sat down, and I went out there and asked them what the problem was. I said, that's no problem. We'll get another bus. And that was last year.
Huh.
I don't know. Everybody said I was lucky. I don't think I was as lucky as the kids. You know, you treat all the kids alike, then they can't accuse you of anything. Don't show any difference in regard. So I just didn't have any problems.
The
principal did.
What was the Board of Education's reaction to desegregation?
For a long time, you know, the board was all white. We finally got Dr. Mr. River Reynolds got on it, and they started putting blacks on it, and there wasn't any. Well, I couldn't tell any difference myself before we had blacks and after we put them on. But they, you know, my opinion says most of you are you low mid-type blacks and your low-type whites. After that, you don't have any problem. And that's something you and I, anybody else, can't do nothing about. It's going to happen. You can't change it. And so...
Did you notice any significant change in the school population once blacks did start entering the school?
Well, I noticed a difference in the students. We would get students in the vocational school in the 10th grade that had a problem with reading and writing and doing simple stuff.
Are we talking about both white and
both
black?
Both white, but most of them are black because we have more black than we did white. But you can't blame that kid. Those kids that were raised in those housing projects, and they had a maintenance man, you know, that fixed the stove and refrigerator and everything. They come in at vocational school, they had an old pair of pliers from a screwdriver. And it wasn't their fault. We had to teach tool identification to them. If you know what I'm talking about. And it wasn't their fault because they'd never been exposed to it. They'd been raised over and never had to do anything. They didn't even have to cut the grass. But we started on the bottom with them, brought them up. Some of them made it, some of them didn't.
Did the white families in that school feel that their children would be being denied a quality education?
I thought they were to start with.
What
I did
changed
too.
Your mind?
Well, I said, I didn't change my mind. I just said that when it first started, I don't think they had the same opportunities as the white kids did. But later on, now, I don't think, if they don't get it, it's their own fault.
Do you think that the white parents of the white students there felt that their children were being denied quality education because you had to start at the bottom with certain students?
Well, not really. We had a problem there, and I'm just going to tell you like it is, like it was. The whites ran.
And when you talk about
running?
Well, I
mean, running, they moved out. Yes. They moved in the Weaver area. They moved in the Sachs area, Golden Spring. And they moved out. That's what's happened.
What do you think made them move out?
Well, they were running from segregation. Integration. They were running from. Now why? Allison High has had a bad image since we was consolidated with Carr. But the image is people don't know. It's a good school. A kid can get courses at Allison High they can't get. They can get such as they can get the help of higher math and higher English classes and foreign language classes because they got a lot of students. And these small county schools can't offer it because they haven't got enough kids to take it. Mm-hmm. So a kid can get, really, if he wants to. Well, now, when I retired 8 years ago now, as good a high school a diploma from Allison High as they could anywhere, if they wanted it, mm-hmm. and they applied themselves. Whether it's black, white, pink, purple, or whatever. But we had a bad image because people would talk, I don't know how to explain it, but we weren't near it as bad a school as we got credit for. And the people involved in it knew it too. Mm-hmm. But the people outside, all they heard was the bad things. They didn't hear the good things. Yeah, and it went on, and and they started the Anderson Academy back, I guess it was in the 70s or late 60s, and it's Donahoe now, but when they first started. And all the doctors and lawyers and people that could afford it sent their kids to the academy.
Was that at a private school?
Yeah, it's still there, Donahoe now. It's up on the mountain up there. It's called Donahoe now, but when they first started it, they called it Anderson Academy. And a lot of your best students went there. And I'm just telling you what happened. And right now it's the same way, only a larger percentage of them going up there. Than I think the tuition's pretty high up there, but people can afford it. Well, they got black kids going up there too, you know. I don't know how many, but I've had them on the basketball team, and I've seen them at sitting in the stands with the Donahue fans, so I know they got some going to school up there. How many, I don't know. It don't really matter to me.